Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You're listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Hosted.
Well, now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Oh, okay. I had lost audio there. Okay. All right. Thanks, Engineer Mike. All right. Yes, everybody. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V, and, well, you know, I just want to thank everybody for really tuning in and supporting the show. Everything is moving forward, where we're growing, and I love having the new additions to the show. Everything is growing. So I just wanted to take the night and just have a little in-house talk here. I do have my co-hosts, Will Turbitt from Demand the Truth.
Honored to be here with you gentlemen, as always.
And of course, we have Kyler Davenport here with us. And I really want to talk about something Kyler brought up last night. And I hope you don't mind, Kyler. I would love to talk about more of your experience with the Black Widow more in detail, because I find these situations fascinating in a morbid sense. Of course, it's not a good thing, but it's definitely something, well, an evil that the world needs to be more familiar about and how it happens in the modern day and age. So I would love for you to regale us with that tale.
Well, I can tell you that it's at epidemic proportion right now, happening in probate courts, nursing homes, and long-term care facilities all over the United States. Kids taking their parents' money, stealing their parents' money, stealing their grandparents' money, stealing their aunts and uncles' money. It's epidemic proportion. And it's a growing problem. And my situation was I had a very, very evil stepsister who had a wonderful marriage, wonderful relationship, had two children who she thought hung the moon, and both of them were on oxycodone so bad and marijuana and other drugs, and she would never admit it to the family. Of course, they were always the two most perfect children in the world, and she was the one that was the little suburban queen of the PTA and all of the church get-togethers and things. And my mom got really, really sick, and this is when I met Mary, by the way, when I met my soulmate. Mom got really, really sick and had a cerebrovascular accident or a stroke. And she also had a cardiac problem, and they had to put a pacemaker in for, her heart to keep it beating properly. She had an atrioventricular fibrillation and some other problems. So, anyway, Marion and I were taking care of Mother full time around the clock, and my evil stepsister never, ever showed up unless it was to brag about something the kids had done or her and Lewis had done or some trip they were taking or some new car or swimming pool they were getting or something like that. But she would never change a diaper. She would never clean Mom's teeth. She would never wash Mom's hair. She would never rub lotion on Mom's body to keep it moist. She would never take Mom to the potty. She would never give Mom a bath. She would never make Mom a meal. She would never turn Mom over in the bed. but she would definitely pop in to be the star of the show for 10 or 15, 25 minutes and pop out.
Now, well, to quickly interject, this sounds like narcissism here, because, I mean, how else could somebody not care about their parent like that? I mean, right? Right. Am I wrong here?
Right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. And she detested me, literally detested me, because she is my stepsister by a different father. Ray was her father. Andy was my father. And she just detested me because Mom was always favored to me. I was always Mom's favorite. And she felt left out. And so she had a complex about that. So anyway, as Mom got sicker and sicker and sicker, and money issues started to come up. And all of a sudden, I get an attorney, and we're discussing Mom's will. And we're doing the living will, and we're doing the powers of attorney, and the physician's directive, and so forth and so on, doing all the correct end-of-life paperwork. Well, she gets wind of this through a family member, and her and Lewis show up on the doorstep and bust their way in the front door, bust their way into Mom's bedroom one day, and start going through all the drawers in a dresser. Start opening up the closets, going through all the cabinets, and I went completely ballistic. I mean, Mother's there, so sick. I went literally ballistic. I said, what in the blank did he blank, 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 blank are you doing here? And she said, we're taking over. And I said, you're taking over nothing. You're going home. You're going out the same door you came in, and you're going to do it within the next 10 minutes, or there's going to be a problem here. And so she sat down on her fat butt, and she said, I'm not moving. This is my mother, and we're getting ready to settle some things, and I'm going to be the executor. And I said, well, give me about 5 minutes. I'll be right back. And Barry was running for mayor at the time in this place that we were in, and I had a lot of law enforcement contacts there. I called the police department, and I had two detectives come out and physically remove them from the property and threatened to put them in handcuffs if they didn't leave. And she was so irate, fire was coming out of her eyes, and her hair was standing straight up on her head. I'll never forget it as long as I live. They removed her from the property and told her she's trespassing, not to come back. So anyway, she leaves, she goes home, and she gets an attorney. And so now there's a battle going on between my attorney and her attorney. Well, we end up winning. We end up keeping her at bay. We end up keeping her at home. We end up keeping her away from the house and getting a bond to keep her away from the house. No trespassing certificate, paperwork. Well, now all of a sudden my aunt falls dead over in Lakewood. My aunt falls dead, and my sister gets wind of it through the postman, because she was smelling so bad. She'd been lying in the sunroom so long, the postman smelled her and saw her body fluids dripping down the side of the house, running down the driveway, and called the police and called my sister. And my sister went over there and had the body removed, had the body buried, cleaned out all the jewelry, all the silver, all the gold, all the precious coins that Uncle Martin had saved for many, many years, all the stamp collections, all of the antiques, and took them all away to her house, put them in the garage. And I got a phone call from my cousin, and he said, Tyler, Aunt Gladys has died and been buried, And all of her house has been cleaned out. There's nothing but junk left over there. I said, what? That's my mother's sister. My God, what are you talking about? He said, no, I'm telling you the truth. This is not a joke. This is not a joke I would play. Aunt Gladys died weeks ago, and they buried her literally overnight without an autopsy. And they've cleaned this all out. Well, there's $250,000 at stake here. Aunt Gladys is money. Uncle Martin had died, retired from Wyatt's cafeteria 30 years, saved every dime he ever had, great investor. Aunt Gladys never left the house. She was an introvert, never spent a dime. She was a miser. $250,000 at stake. Well, I called my attorney and I called the sheriff's department and I told the detectives, same detectives, what had happened. And they went out to her house. They put her in handcuffs. And they made her husband go and get all of the jewelry, all of the gold and all of the silver and all of the coins and all of the stamps and all of the everything else that could be carried in a suitcase or two and put it in their squad car. And they brought it back to me. Then they uncuffed my sister and they said, you better watch out because Kyler has taken this over and there's going to be a lot of trouble for you, lady. So there was a big battle, and there was a will somewhere laying around the house, and they were looking for it. They'd scratched for it like little mice running around scratching in every corner. They'd scratched and scratched and scratched, and they couldn't find that will. And it was made out to my stepsister. This will was made out to my stepsister. Well, they couldn't find it, and there was no copies of it. So... anyway, to make a long story short, we got everything back from her. She almost had a heart attack. She had to go to the hospital. She had to go to mental treatment for this. She was so mad. She was so distressed and so disturbed and so pissed off. She had to go into mental rehab over this because she wanted that $250,000 cash. And so my attorney fought and fought and fought, and we went to court, and we won. I had lots of evidence. I had lots of tape recordings. I had lots of videotape. I was an agent at the time, and I had my whole house rigged and bugged from top to bottom. All of my phones were bugged. I had all of this information on her threatening us and him Lewis threatening us. And the judge slammed his gavel down and said, Tyler's the executor, and he will be the one distributing the funds to the family. Case closed. I want everyone out of my court. And she had a literal fit in court, and they had to take her away into the back room, handcuff her, and take her away into the back room. She was screaming to the top of her lungs. Her face was red as a beet. She was stomping her feet. You could hear it all over the courthouse, her screaming to the top of her lungs like she had a demon in her. And I distributed the money after a long series of working with the attorney, going through all of the probate process, digging out all the bank accounts, finding and locating all the bank accounts from all the paperwork that was scrolled throughout the house. Nothing was filed properly. We had to spend a week over there, day and night, smelling that decomp body, digging through all of her paperwork to find all the money. We found $254,000. And I had it distributed to my Aunt Ann, Tim, and Terry, and Uncle Charles, and Aunt Carol, and of course, us, mother. We ended up getting $70,000. My sister ended up going to the mental institution and ended up later on getting so sick she died with double pneumonia. Her husband died slumped over in the living room chair with apnea, sleep apnea, and weight problems and diabetes. So it killed, this killed both of them that they didn't get that money. And then right after that, their son committed suicide at 31 years old, was found dead in a chair with a bottle of bourbon, oxycodone all over the table, and marijuana strode throughout the house. And the daughter is now a lesbian and married to another woman living in another state. They didn't get hardly a dime from their estate, Carol's estate, my stepsister. The kids didn't hardly get a dime. They'd spent all of it trying to get mother's money from my Aunt Gladys. They'd spent wads and wads and wads of money on their son, who was an alcoholic and a drug addict. They'd supported his drug habit all those years. And they'd supported Karen. And so that's how the story ended. All of them died, except Karen. She still lives in another state with her girlfriend, wife. We lived happily ever after. We used the $70,000 for medical bills that had incurred for mother's Hashimoto hypothyroiditis and her pacemaker and her third-degree atrioventricular heart block and all of her cerebral vascular strokes and all of the other care that we had to do for her cancer and my two heart attacks. And we paid off all of our medical bills. Marion and I ended up with about $700 after all was said and done. All the bills were paid on the farm. And we came to Oregon. We taped the rearview mirror up with a piece of duct tape because I didn't want to look back in the mirror and think of all the drama and all the hurt and suffering and pain and chaos that we had come from. Mother had died at that point, of course. And here we are on the air with you tonight. I mean, to you live from the great state of Oregon. And we've calmed down a whole lot since then, but we've learned that you cannot trust family members. You cannot trust friends. You cannot trust neighbors. You can't even trust your pastor. And I warn everyone, find someone you can trust early and get all of your powers of attorney done. Get your physician's directive done. Get your will accomplished. Get it finished. Make a videotape, timestamp it, and date it. And make it known who you want to be your first executor and, if possible, your second executor. Write it in stone. And let everyone have a copy of it. That's anyone. Your pastor, your doctor, your lawyer, your favorite neighbor, your favorite aunt, whoever. Make sure that you don't go through what we went through with this black widow, this hussy, this demon.
And you know, that is, wow. I got a few questions about this. This is such a horrid situation. And I do agree with you on the whole trust issue. And we'll talk more about this stuff when we come back from commercial break.
Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Okay. So we are back, and you know, Kyle, I've got some things floating around in my head. You know, after hearing your story, for one, I've got to say your stepsister was like more than just a narcissist. She was a sociopath.
Yes.
Agreed. This. You don't have a mental breakdown over money unless you are a straight-up sociopath, probably borderline psychopath, willing to victimize someone over money, victimize family over money, overstepping her bounds. Now, this is something that is common within, and I don't particularly like to make things racial, but you know, we've got to really get down to the issues here. I know this is very prevalent within the upper class, middle middle to upper class, and you know, the more higher up you go, the more you see of only one race. So I can tell you, for being West Indian, African, and Native American, you know, having black families, things are very simple. I can tell you, you know, even being a targeted individual and coming from the family I came from, I had a lot of support. No one had any reason to doubt me for anything because, you know, we've seen things. We've experienced all sorts of oppression. You know, nothing has come up as a surprise in my situation. And you know, I've had that support from family and friends. And and furthermore, when there are issues with money, you know, we particularly don't let any money issues get in the way of us being a family because we're not used to having money. No, I've got I've got brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles doing very well, and we're all happy for each other. And I can tell you right now, when it comes to my mother's health and the things that are being put into place for her well-being, and you know, I don't care whose name is on the insurance. I don't care whose name is on what. I kind of do. I prefer my name to stay off of things. I hate my name to be on anything, government paperwork and all this stuff. And you know, I've got a sister. She's good at these things. I have no problem letting her handle it. You know, because I'm gonna be all right. I already know this. I'm not gonna fight anybody in my family for any money. That seems to be a concept that's so far beyond me. I prefer somebody else in my family to take care of these things because it really is a headache. You know, into these things. So, do you think this is something that is holding back, let's say, the Caucasian community or the communities with money? Because, I mean, there seems to be no unity when it comes to that sort of thing. It's a cutthroat situation.
Yes. The economic situation definitely plays a big part in it, as you know, as you go up the socio-demographic ladder and stratify the whole situation. It gets tougher and tougher. The more money that is involved, the more stress that's involved, and the risk factors are all there for someone to come unglued and for there to be a homicide, like in the U-Haul family, all the homicides in the U-Haul family and all of that stuff that went on with the U-Haul family when the folks died. But yeah, people are willing to kill each other over $10,000. I mean, we've seen this happen. Marion and I have worked cases because we're so good at it. We work cases personally like this and help people through the probate process. Marty Oakley, who I'm bringing on your show, also works these cases, and you'll be very interested in talking to Marty when she comes on. But yes, the higher up the socioeconomic ladder you go, and it seems like Caucasians are definitely divided by economic stimulus, thinking about the money is coming, the money is coming. Everybody's real nice to each other until somebody gets sick and gets called out with cancer or something happens and they find out that they don't have very long to live. People's brains start kicking, and those little mice start churning up there in the brain about who's going to get the money, who's going to get the antique furniture, who's going to get the silver and the gold. I'm quoting a case we just worked, you know. So, yeah, it definitely has an impact.
Okay. We'll get back into this when we come back from our top of the hour break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You are tuned into the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V Still, and I have my co-host here with me. And, you know, we are talking about this whole issue with money and inheritance. Now, things just seem to line up with what we're doing as far as subject matter and the things that I study on a daily basis. Something I did watch recently was this ordeal about incest. And, well, looking back at Europe ages ago and the whole idea of keeping the blood pure by marrying your sister, marrying your cousin, and, you know, looking at all the retardations and the physical, the genetic abnormalities and the mental disorders that came from that. And, you know, all these things may have been side effects of the inbreeding. But what I really uncovered in more research was really the inbreeding was just about keeping the money in the family. So this was to keep together dynasties and not have people fighting over money, because the allure of taking someone else's money, or money that you would think would be rightfully yours or someone else's, was a very realistic thing even ages ago throughout the course of humanity. And this is actually why I hate it when I'll watch some old-time movies or something like that, and you know, we'll see the Caucasian call some of the race savages and things like that. But you know, like yeah. The Native Americans, for example, had true democratic societies. Okay, the land belonged to everybody. You know, there wasn't too many turf wars, because everybody had a say in their tribes, and everyone always had usage of land, had their share of food, and etc. But Europe has been a grinder, a meat grinder for as long as we know. Not just Europe, but other places, other civilizations around the world. It's just been meat grinder over what? Greed. And we know greed corrupts. Do you think that is what's attributing to what happened to you, even on a non-political level?
I think it was both greed and jealousy of me being mom's son and me being her stepbrother. I think that had a lot to do with it, although things might not have changed if it had been the other way. Might have gone the same exact way with her psychological profile the way it was. And I don't want to get a lot of nasty emails from Caucasians, folks. We're not out here bashing Caucasians tonight. I don't want you all to think that we're doing that. We're just having a discussion about some hypotheticals. And we are being realistic as we do on this show, and we try to get out as many facts as we can, and we also have our own feelings, and we also have our own thoughts, and so that's what we're doing tonight, okay? So don't get mad.
We don't need any disclaimers on the Red Pill Hardcore. It's the Red Pill Hardcore.
Yeah, but you know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying. You know what I'm saying.
No, it's true. You're absolutely right. If somebody walks into a certain, just flipped it on listening, I always put a lot, I do, V used to get mad at me too, because I put a lot of qualifiers on, because he'll be over here talking this mess, and I'll be like, well, you know, actually, hypothetically, and I'll put all these qualifiers on things, and it's true, we are on the Red Pill Hardcore, but no, you're absolutely right too, because everything is about perception, and we want to win the moral high ground, and I think, what he's saying is true. Greed comes into it. Jealousy is definitely an aspect as well too. But you know what it is too? There's the whole societal aspect, which V always brings up, and that's why I love V. He's one of the best in the alternative media period, and he brings up the crucial points. And one of them is too, it's the whole societal engineering aspect. And I'm not saying I entirely agree with Maslow's hierarchy, but if anybody's unfamiliar, it's a psychological theory that if your first needs are your base level needs like food, water, shelter, and then after that you can take care of yourself and get a job and have some self-confidence and feel fulfilled in life, and then after that then you can reach out and help other people. And it's my point to whether Maslow's hierarchy is real or not, I do think they keep us at the base level of what's going on, the drugs, the sex, the food, and what's going on, and people can't self-actualize themselves, and people aren't even operating on a fraction of their level, and this is just the ego we identify with.
So, I mean, in a way, I even feel, I'm sorry to say this, I even feel bad for them because these people are victims themselves to this whole thing. And I don't want to, like, you know, maybe stick up for them because that's not my intention here. But, you know, that's the thing that we all have to realize, too, is all these people, it's like in the Matrix, man. Until they're awake, you know, they're kind of against us. But we really got to reach out to them and try to pull them out of the pink ooze.
It takes all kinds of people to make a world, you know. It takes all kinds of people to make a world go round and round and round. And there's definitely a lot of different kinds of people out there that we should all be aware of. And that's why the red pill exists, I think, is to talk about all of that diversification and differences in psychological profiles and perceptions and behaviors and attitudes and how all that ultimately affects the socioeconomic, socio-psychological condition that we're all living in today. I think that's why we're here, basically. And we've learned now in quantum physics just recently that antimatter plays a great part in changing the DNA structure itself and ultimately changing the way people think. And propaganda affects and is affected by the antimatter that's popping in and out of existence all the time and what we used to call nothing. Remember, we've tried to find out what nothing is for a long time now. We finally found out it's antimatter popping in and out of existence. And your thoughts definitely do change your reality. Your thoughts definitely do restructure your DNA and your thinking. Yeah. So propaganda, what my final point is, propaganda definitely
changes the DNA. Yeah, I want to double down on what you're saying because the point that you made is so insanely important, and continue if you'd like, but I definitely want to just reiterate what you said right there. He stated factually, it's been proven, not only in that experiment in quantum physics, but also in other ways with the double slit experiment, Schrodinger's cat, and quantum non-locality. So it's up and down proved in quantum physics, the stuff that he's talking about right now. And these people like Edward Bernays, and the societal engineers around the turn of the century, they understood human psychology. They studied. He was a nephew of Sigmund Freud, and they applied this propaganda to us. So just imagine these elites, these nefarious people who want to, on record, they wrote it down in their own books, on record, they want to limit the human mind. So when you create reality, you create perception, they are literally limiting us with our propaganda. That's why what Kyler is saying is so important. We're at a crossroads right now, and we can free ourselves from that. And it's not as difficult as we think. So continue.
This is why people need to study esoteric knowledge. And when I say things like this, people start wanting to hang up. But this is why people need to study esotericism. People need to read the Bhagavad Gita. People need to read the Lotus Sutra. They knew these things 6,000 years ago, that propaganda changed the deoxyribonucleic factor and the ribonucleic factor and the double helix. They knew that propaganda could change the way people think and their perceptions and their behavior. And now we've actually got some science on this from the ether, from the antimatter. That's way, way below the Planck length level, way below the subatomic level. We're talking the ether. We're talking these particles are beyond small, and they're popping in and out of existence all the time, and they have a great deal to do with the way that we think about ourselves, our consciousness, our friends, our activities, our workplace, our spouse, our money situation, our socioeconomic condition, our education. People need to read the Bhagavad Gita. They need to read the Lotus Sutra. They need to read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. They need to think about esoteric wisdom. We've lost ourselves. We need to find ourselves again. We need to expand our consciousness. Our consciousness has been hidden.
Quickly, I know V wants to get in here, but why? And to your point, I couldn't agree more. We have to study this because 2 points, scientifically, 95% of what's out there is dark matter, and we know it's there, but we really don't know what it is, to your point. And
on the esoteric level, the same thing applies. And why do you think that the Skull and Crossbones folks, why do you think that the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, they keep these secrets to themselves? It's not maybe a coincidence that they happen to be the powerful people. Enlighten yourself. It's the age of the internet. Go online, read those books, do some searches, and you can empower yourselves so we don't have the only empowered people being the Freemasons or the Rosicrucians.
I want to hold on. I want to wrap this all together here because we're getting close to the end of the show here, but I want to wrap this in together. It's because of knowing who you are, knowing what's right, and having the presence of mind to fight against evil. Yes, I know it's your half-sister or stepsister and everything, but there's just no way that there was anything in Kyler Davenport that was going to let evil persist to destroy your world. No. And so right. Your knowledge of who you are and I want to say it's karma. Didn't the universe sort of just play its role and help you with the situation? Because there are some people out there that get screwed over. You didn't get screwed over. So do you feel as though, you know, all that together,
I think all of the esoteric wisdom that I have, and people are going to laugh, some people, but studying the Vedas and the Sama Sutras and studying all of the different Chakras and studying all of the different Murus and understanding all of the different things in esoteric wisdom and knowledge and consciousness and self and being and perception and interactivity with people has helped me to be able to navigate this matrix in a way that is very successful and can overcome evil, if you will. And I am able to, my radar stays on all the time. I'm looking for bull, and my radar is on all the time for people who are evil and people who are out to hurt me or hurt my family or my friends. And you have to be highly conscious, and you have to be in charge of your five senses in order to do this. You have to have some knowledge of the world beyond this reality. And the only way to do that is through meditation, concentration, focus, and study and research.
And a take no crap attitude.
Right.
Because, I've done a lot of studying myself, and a place I started at was Manly P. Hall's look at Freemasonry.
Yes, jumping in for one more second, really quick. One of my top five books of all time. It's a great introductory place if you want to start to this. It's The Secret Teaching of All Ages. It's got diagrams. He reproduces occult writings and diagrams and symbolism. It's a great beginner's point, if I might say that. But go ahead, V, sorry.
Yes, it is.
No, absolutely. Yes. You know, Book of the Golden Dawn and all these things like that, because yes, as Kyler was saying, you know, so many people might think, oh, this is witchcraft or this is just some funny stuff. This is Freemason stuff. It's evil. Well, guess what? The so-called Illuminati, who I call the Illumitards, actually control your lives through the information that you will find in these sources, because they have some kind of a grip on it. And I wouldn't say they have a real grip on the information, but they have twisted and perverted what they've taken out of it. So that's how they control you. Man. That's how people are twisted. That's how you get people like Kyler's stepsister.
They've taken the information and they've learned it and they've understood it and they've comprehended it and they've used it in a very diabolical way, like we used the A-bomb. Hiroshima. You could look at Hiroshima, Nagasaki. You could look at several different things. You could look at Vietnam. You could look at a lot of things. I could name 100 things right now. You can use things for good. You can use things for bad. And the super elite and the globalists and the New World Order, they have this information, many of them, and they're using it in a very diabolical way, and that's what they've chosen. That's the path they've chosen. We have chosen the opposite path, and that's what we shall do with the Red Pill and with APRI International.
Yes, and I want you to talk about APRI, because we're obviously partnered together. Can you enlighten the audience a little bit more about that as well?
We're going to be giving the Red Pill a key and a password to the board, where they will have a full SAM broadcaster board, and will be able to simulcast their shows at any time, 24 hours a day, around the world in our 26 countries that we left 2 years ago when the station went down. We couldn't afford to put it back up. We had an anonymous donor bring the station back to Mary, and she presented it to me today, and I was so happy. I called V on the phone. When he listens to his message, he's going to pass out. But this is going to help the Red Pill to be out there 24 hours a day on APRI now, around the world, on iTunes and TuneIn and all of these other networks that we were on before. Marion's plugging in the data now, doing the data dumps to get 24 hours of information. And I'm sure the Red Pill can provide 40 or 50 shows for the roundup on the 24-hour run. And I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm elated, V and Mike. I'm elated that we're going to be able to do this together as a co-project.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to that. And I have been looking over some of your recent subjects you've been covering on your own. I would actually like to bring some of those to the show. Something I found particularly interesting that not a lot of people cover is pornography. So you have something about teen porn up, and
30 million girls a year between the ages of 8 and 17 are put into the human trafficking, prostitution, teen porn business in the United States alone. I'm an agent on the dark web. I could be killed for talking about this on the Red Pill, but I will anyway, and I have been an agent working with the United States government in certain capacities, the United States Attorney, Federal Bureau of Investigation. I act as a broker to broker human trafficking. I make deals. I set up locations, and then the federal prosecutors, federal marshals go in and make arrests. But I'll talk about that later. On the next show, I'll tell you about a Laredo orphanage we just closed that was masquerading as an orphanage. It was actually a baby farm raising babies to be killed on the dark web for $10,000, killing while the men are having sex with them. But 30 million girls a year.
And I cannot wait to discuss this with you tomorrow. This is definitely something we've got to get into. Wow.
And B, I just want to make one more statement to transition into something positive before you wrap up the show here.
Absolutely.
I sent it over to Anthony. The part one of the interview you did is out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/demandthetruth. It's no surprise it's one of the more censored videos on my already censored channel. But go over there. Give that video a like, share, and subscribe, and get the video out so we can help beat the censors. I mean, it's crazy. Somebody that has 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, I'm nearing 5,000 now, has way more views on the things, and it all goes back down to the censorship. That's something we've talked about really here ad nauseum. But anyways, if you guys want to have a really cool interview, and V gets pretty introspective, check it out, youtube.com/demandthetruth. Part one's up, and we're going to part two up in the next few days, so stay tuned for that.
Put that on Skype chat. I love you guys, and I appreciate the show tonight. I had a blast, and I just really thank all of you so very much for allowing me to be here with you.
Absolutely. And yes, that interview. Yeah, Will pulled me aside and had me do an interview with them, and even went as far as doing a two-parter. You know, it's not very often I get to talk about my personal situation, but even though I'm supposed to be on tour right now, and that's going to be picked back up with my tour on other radio stations, a few things just have to be put together first, and I'm going to be on tour doing other radio shows across the planet. So, guys, support us online. yes, censorship is crazy. we have been limited to sharing in very few places on Facebook, as that they are now rolling out 30-day bans because of my latest documentary, which is absolutely telling the truth about what the government's doing with the chemtrails and its true purpose. So this top secret information is scaring the hell out. Yes.
May I say one last thing? People listening, do not be afraid. Do not be nervous about Qasem Soleimani, this top Iranian military commander who was killed by the Central Intelligence Agency. Do not be afraid. Even though Netanyahu is blowing smoke and Putin is blowing smoke, the United States did this. Trump did not do this. The dark state did this. Central Intelligence Agency did this. The deep state did this. And the war machine is going to make a lot of money. There is not going to be a World War III, so do not be afraid. This will pan out over the next year. Lots of people are going to get rich right now. And watch the stock market. And the Iranians have a right to retaliate against us. And they are all coming together in unification. And everything is going to be okay. But we are going to have some bumpy roads over the next year. So do not be afraid of nuclear war. It is not going to happen. Do not be afraid.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that. I don't have to talk about the political side of the war going on very much, but that's something we can also get into later this week. I do believe that Iran has a right to be a sovereign nation and to do what they need to do. There's no reason for us to be over there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, I have, planned that I'm going to be reaching a lot of governments, a lot of third world governments, and discussing a lot of the U.S. covert technology programs with them and step them up. And so there's not a monopoly, because when you have that monopoly of power, you're only going to see, you know, Nazi Germany all over again. And right now, we're everywhere, all over the globe, as is, policing it.
What we really have to worry about is Allah Hamasini Khamenei and terrorist attacks in the United States. This is going to definitely happen. There's going to be a harsh retaliation waiting for the United States because of what happened in Iran with this attack.
Okay.
So,
well, that's something we're going to get into later this week. Guys, you have been listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man of third eye is king, so educate yourselves.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.